Upheaval, Reckoning, Chapter 11, Effigy. In its centuries of history, Fangbreaker Fortress had seen more than its fair share of executions. The Equestrian Legion had valued unflinching duty and discipline. Ponies who failed to embody those virtues were looked upon poorly and swiftly punished. Deserters, spies, rebels, and those whose incompetence brought about the deaths of many all met their fate at the end of a noose. Hanging was a traitor's death and a punishment that didn't end with merely the criminal's corpse. The shame of the crime often continued to haunt the families of the condemned. The ponies of the Barrier Lands were not above casting some of the blame on the criminal's parentage or even ancestry. As she walked the passageway that led from her cell to the fortress's main courtyard, it was that last sentiment that gave Pyrovella a vague twinge in her chest. Her parents were still back in Bastion City. They had survived the siege for sure. She had confidence in the Legion's protection. She knew that even without being told. That didn't stop an annoying pony from telling her anyway.
"Your parents are still alive and well, you know," Twilight Sparkle said.
Huddled against the corner of her cell, Pyrovella rested her head against the wall without paying attention to her visitor. Being beaten up by guards was better than putting up with this.
"And why should I care about some nag?" she asked. "I just ruined whatever shambles of a name they had. Oh, and I would have let the wolfen kill them if the siege had succeeded."
"Do you really care nothing about them at all?"
"What's going on here, Twilight Sparkle? You come in here and start pestering me for what? Entertainment? How did you get the guards to let you in anyway? Did you convince them that you'll torture me with your inanities?"
I just want to understand you better."
Pyre leaned forward from her corner. Her face was so swollen and bruised that even scowling hurt.
"We haven't become friends, Twilight Sparkle," she hissed. "Don't think that I'm going to open up to you just because of what happened earlier."
"Oh, I know we are not friends," Twilight replied.
"Then stop wasting my time and yours."
"There has to be more to this, Pyrovella," Twilight said. "You'll be executed tomorrow. I can't accept it as the end."
"You've only known me for about a month. What could you possibly know about how it all ends? Tomorrow will be a conclusion that has taken all my life to reach."
"So that's it? You're just going to walk out there and hang?"
Pyre leaned back on her wall. It was late and she was tired. This was only her second night of being able to sleep without being angry over the division or being possessed by Nightmare Moon. It was probably also her last, and she didn't want to waste minutes of it talking to Twilight Sparkle.
"Yes," she said quietly. "What else do you want, Twilight Sparkle? The pony who kept kicking your flank is going to die."
She smiled wearily.
"You should be dancing jigs, not making it sound like you're going to miss me."
Twilight reared up and struck the bars with her front hoofs.
"Don't be flippant," she said. "I haven't even beaten you yet."
The smile disappeared momentarily as Pyrovella processed the information. Beaten her? The idea hadn't even occurred to her. She had come to respect this annoying filly's magical power and focus. That Twilight Sparkle could stand up to Nightmare Moon, even for a short while, made her worthy of the Legion's uniform. The idea of some form of rivalry...
"Is that what this is about?" she asked. "You don't want me executed so you can have the pleasure of killing me yourself?"
"No,"
Twilight answered. She looked aside, unable to meet Pyra's questioning look.
"It's not about killing you."
Her voice was more quiet this time.
"But I've never wanted to beat any pony before. Not in my entire life."
She looked at Pyrovella.
"You asked me before if I've ever looked at another unicorn and asked myself, how can I beat her? The answer was never, not until you came along. Ever since that day, I've thrown myself into study and training so I can beat you. I've never studied that way before. That kind of drive and focus, pushing myself and imagining that scene when I win."
A minute passed in silence.
"I liked it."
Twilight stared at the floor, looking embarrassed and unsure of herself. Pyrovella laughed. At first, a look of confusion spread across Twilight's face, but the sheer scorn in Pyro's laugh quickly changed that.
"What's so funny?"
she asked, her face red.
"That was pathetic,"
Pyro said. She walked up to the bars of her cell so she faced Twilight. She was serious before she spoke again.
"Nightmare Moon called me an insect when she first possessed me," she said.
but she was scared when she faced you. I was an insect and you were a threat. Yet here you are, talking about your loathly goal of beating me in single combat."
Her hoofs shot through the bars so quickly that Twilight had no time to react. In the instant, Twilight's face had slammed against the bars, with Pyra holding onto her mane.
"Protect Equestria, no matter the cost and no matter who pays it," Pyra snarled. "I almost lost sight of that goal because of you. You don't get to make that mistake. Not when you get to live while I die. Put it above yourself and whatever small, pathetic personal goals you might have."
She let the stunned unicorn go and walked back to the corner of her cell.
"I'm just one unicorn mage. Tomorrow, I'll just be a corpse. You'll have more enemies ahead. Stop feeling sorry that our little spat with me ended before you could get the upper hoof."
Twilight had no answer. She was still rubbing her forehead painfully when Pyra shouted for the guards. Pyravella reached the section of the passage that connected her branch of the dungeon with the branch Blademane was put in. He had been let out as well and now walked behind her as they continued. Their guards surrounded them like a wall of silent, moving metal. She looked to Blademane and noticed that he had been severely beaten up too.
"Are you all right?" Blademane asked.
The genuine concern in his tone was another thing that actually felt painful for Pyra.
"What does it matter?" she asked in return. "We'll both be dead soon."
"True." They walked on silently for a time. They could see the light from the courtyard at the end of the passageway when Pyra spoke again.
"Tell me something, Blademane," she said.
"Yes?"
"I'm never going to be able to return the sort of loyalty you've shown me. You knew this from the start. No more silent treatment. Now that we're so close to the end, tell me why you've come this far."
Blademane answered with his usual silence at first. Pyra was about to prod him when he decided to speak on his own.
"I never expected you to reciprocate," he said. "At the start, maybe I did. But it wasn't even about that in the end. Has it really not occurred to you that I might actually believe in your cause?"
"It could have, if you actually talked," Pyra replied.
"My fault, then. To be fair, I didn't believe in it right away. I thought that you'd eventually calm down, marry Vanguard Clash, and be a quiet, productive legionnaire."
"You were wrong."
"In more than one way. I agreed with you. I never said I did. I didn't have the courage to be as outspoken as you were. I got my chance to change that when you two fought."
Pyravella looked behind her and found Blademane smiling for the first time she had known him. She looked away when she felt a smile beginning to curve her lips.
"What a pair we make," she said. "The mare who talked too much and the stallion who talked too little."
"Thank you, Pyravella."
Pyra nearly stopped in her tracks.
"What could you possibly have to thank me for?" she asked.
"Giving me a chance to say something I would never have if I spent the rest of my life serving in the Legion. You said all the words and made all the decisions. All I needed to do was stay by your side. Thank you for that."
"Now you're talking too much, Blademane."
Both of them fell silent when they finally made it out to the courtyard. The open space was full of legionnaires today, all present to see the execution of the two villains of the Woven Invasion. Any other work around the fortress, save for guard duty, had been delayed. As Pyra walked past the rows of legionnaires, she looked straight ahead and towards the gallows. Though she didn't look, she could tell that Vanguard Clash was watching, as was Twilight Sparkle. Perhaps they were even watching together. On the gallows, she saw the imposing figure of the Prince of the Barrierlands himself. It wasn't until she was climbing up the wooden stairs of the gallows that Pyravella noticed something strange. There was no hang pony around. The nooses were prepared, but the only pony on the structure was Prince Turado. Was the prince going to hang her himself? With Pyravella standing at the center of the gallows, Turado gestured for the guards to remove her hornlock before leaving.
"You have some nerve pushing me as you have, Pyravella," he said.
His voice carried over to every pony present.
"Hundreds of your fellows are dead by your betrayal, and you aided Nightmare Moon, an enemy not just of Equestria, but of the Eternal Herd itself. Every Black Rose rebel has paid with his life by hanging, but I think something different should await the pony who has done more."
Pyra held her prince's gaze without flinching. She wasn't going to lower her head in contribution when she felt contrite over nothing. When Prince Turado remained silent, she decided to speak for one last time.
"Turado, wait!"
Before Pyre could utter a word, she spotted another alicorn fly towards her and land next to the prince. She didn't recognize the white coat and the pink mane, but she could tell who this alicorn was. She braced herself for the rage, the same rage that had smoldered within her nearly all her life. To her surprise, all she felt was a mild annoyance, and it was more because Princess Celestia had interrupted the procedures than any anger towards the worst of Equestria's alicorn rulers. For a frightful moment, Paravella considered that she might have unconsciously forgiven the Nag Princess. She realized, however, that it wasn't forgiveness that sapped her rage. She was simply spent. She had thrown what she had at the Nag Princess and her foul addict, and she got the results she wanted. The anger had been slowly dissipating even when Nightmare Moon had still possessed her. Now she just wanted to get things over.
Celestia, I thought you had your fill of hangings from your time in Bastion City,
Torrado said. You told me yourself that my division was wrong, Torrado, Celestia said. This pony has done terrible things, as had those rebels in Bastion City. But what end do their deaths accomplish? Torrado lowered his voice before replying.
Why don't we ask her?
He suggested. He turned his attention back to Pyrovalor.
Do you wish to be spared?
He asked. No, was the quick and sure reply. Celestia shifted her attention to Pyrovalor and took a step back when she met the fierce stare of the condemned unicorn. Pyrovalor, do you honestly wish to be executed like this? She asked. A spark of her old rage lit up in Pyrovalor. Like this? Celestia certainly had some nerve looking down on her. Torrado took only one look at her and he quickly understood. He stepped between his sister and the condemned unicorn.
My sister hasn't quite grasped the way things are in the Legion, Torrado said.
He glanced at Celestia briefly.
I think you understand why there's no hangpony around and why I had your hornlock removed.
I understand perfectly, Your Highness,
Pyrovalor replied. Torrado raised his voice again.
Pyrovalor, you've spent your life taking matters into your own hoofs. It's only fitting that your death be of the same manner.
Pyrovalor dropped to her knees in response.
This is an honor I don't deserve, Your Highness, she said.
I've heard your reasons from Vanguard Clash and Dreadstep's reports, Torrado said. Not only that, you could have run off when you had the chance. A lot of Black Rose rebels certainly tried. Instead, you performed one last favor for the Legion. Crazy as it may sound, I can actually respect that.
After that, Pyre stood up and jumped down the gallows. The ponies closest to her gasped and backed away. Her horn began to glow a deep red as she intoned a spell. From the crowd, Twilight Sparkle moved forward, her horn already glowing with a spell of her own. She knew it. Pyrovalor wasn't just going to fade into nothing like this. She wasn't. A deep red blaze engulfed Pyrovalor at the end of her spell. The flames quickly consumed her mane, tail and coat, sending clouds of smoke spiraling upwards. She dropped to her knees, her face twisting in terrific agony, but she didn't so much as let out a cry of pain. Twilight stopped dead in her tracks, her spell fizzling out before it could be completed. She watched in horror even as the heat and smoke obscured her view.
No!
She cried out. She tried to run towards Pyrovalor, but some pony suddenly grabbed her from behind and held her still. With a cry of rage and frustration, she looked at who it was and found Vanguard Clash. He looked at her sadly before looking back to the burning spectacle. Mollified somewhat, she followed his gaze.
And that's why you make them white hot.
A white hot blaze would have consumed Pyrovalor quickly and without suffering. Instead, she had chosen to lessen the intensity of the fire spell.
You fool!
Twilight said with a sob.
This doesn't make up for anything!
Atop the gallows, Celestia moved forward, but Torrado blocked her path. With no pony to stop him, Blademane jumped down and hacked the burning unicorn. The flames blazed even fiercer and engulfed him as well. Though the crowd had been surprised at first, they soon realized what had just happened and went on to calmly watch the scene. Through it all, neither Pyrovalor nor Blademane made a sound. It was hard to even tell if they had already died. The only sound that could be heard throughout the courtyard was a crackling of flames. The blaze eventually died down, leaving behind vaguely pony-shaped masses of ash that crumpled into an indistinct pile. Tirado stared at the pile grimly, then motioned for some guards.
"Gather their remains," he told them. "Mark their graves with what exactly they did."
As the guards hurried to do his bidding, Tirado passed by his sister, who was still looking at the smoking pile in confusion.
"I don't understand," she said softly. "Why did she want to die so badly?"
"Want has nothing to do with it," Tirado replied. "Get some rest, dearest sister. We'll be at the Heartland before the day's end."
Tirado flew off. Celestia glanced sadly at the smoking pile one more time, then flew after him. While the crowd began to disperse, both Twilight Sparkle and Vanguard Clash continued to look on. A few more tears ran down Twilight's cheeks when she finally turned away. She wiped them away angrily, silently reminding herself that she despised Pyrovalor. It didn't work. She noticed her friends already coming over, concern and confusion mixing on their faces. She felt a foreleg go around her shoulders.
"Save your grief," Vanguard said.
Even his normally stoic voice cracked.
"We all knew that this was going to be the end of it, her most of all. If you have a shred of respect for her, you should be glad that His Highness granted her the honor of ending her own life."
"Is that what honor's supposed to be?" Twilight whispered. "Do you want something like that, Vanguard?"
"Dying for something I believe in," Vanguard asked. "When the time comes, perhaps. Put this scene behind you, Twilight Sparkle. You wouldn't want to go home with a burning mare in your thoughts."
Once the others had come close enough, he let go of Twilight and left. A few hours later, Vanguard made his way towards Stormbrew's newly built bar and brewery. The ashes were supposed to be buried in marked graves, but a discussion arose among the higher-ranked officers as to what that meant. A lot agreed that blank tombstones should suffice. Some ponies said that a plague of sorts should mark the site as a warning for others. Another said that placing such a mark would only plant the seed of Pyrovalor being called a hero. Yet another argued that such a scenario may not be so bad. Through it all, Vanguard was only interested in finally laying his friend to rest. The squabbling only reminded him that, ultimately, Pyrovalor had gotten off easy. She did not have to live and deal with the events that she had helped to set into motion. As he approached Stormbrew's, he found Twilight Sparkle already sitting by the bar. She wobbled slightly, then looked up at him with a half-smile before waving a hoof.
"Vanguard," she called out, "about time you showed up. Does it take that long to bury a pot?"
Stormbrew walked over to Vanguard before he could reach the bar.
"How much has she drunk?" he asked.
Stormbrew rubbed her messy mane with a hoof.
"I gave her a mug that's a quarter good stuff and three quarters water," she said. "She's made it to half the mug, rounding up that is. You're going to have your hoofs full with this one at some point, Vanguard."
"Thank you," Vanguard said.
He took a seat next to Twilight, but didn't order a drink of his own.
"This better not become a new habit of yours, Twilight."
"Then unicorns should stop lighting themselves on fire," Twilight snapped.
She stared morosely at her drink and looked like she was about to take another pull, but stopped halfway.
"I must admit I didn't think her death would affect you this much," Vanguard said.
"She was such a nag," Twilight mumbled. "Right down to the end, she was mocking me. How did you ever put up with that?"
"There was more to Pyre than just her anger over the division. If you had only met her a couple of years earlier, she would have been happier knowing you."
"I doubt it," Twilight replied. "We would never have gotten along."
"Not as friends," Vanguard said. "You would have been great rivals, sparring duels in the day, boasting and comparing victories in the night. I would have never heard the end of it from her when it came to you."
"She would have liked that kind of relationship?" Twilight asked.
"Of course. She would have prized it more than some friendships."
"I'll never understand her."
Twilight looked at her mug and tried to take another pull again. This time, the mug made it all the way to her lips before she set it down. Some time passed before she ventured to talk again.
"Say, Vanguard," she asked. "Does your squad still need a unicorn mage?"
"Why are you asking?"
"I want the job."
"Why the sudden interest in special operations?"
Twilight paused, fighting the alcohol fog in her mind for the answer.
I'll be able to do a lot more in a small special squad like yours, she said. Especially against some pony like Black Rose, who won't act through giant, predictable armies.
That's a good reason, Vanguard said. I hope it's the real one and not because of something Paris said or did.
Well, there might be that too.
Ask me again when you're sober.
Twilight pushed the mug away and stared at Vanguard. There was an intensity in her eyes that even the blaze of alcohol couldn't blur.
Is that all I need to do? She asked.
Vanguard rubbed his temples and let out a slow exhale. He had expected this somehow. He didn't know why, but he did ever since his mother brought it up. Twilight could do the job. She needed a bit more experience, but she was certainly going to get that soon. She was already working with specialized groups anyway, as were the rest of her friends. It was now also obvious that, since she already asked, he couldn't ignore this anymore.
What you need to do is to go home, Twilight Sparkle, he said.
Twilight opened her mouth to protest, but Vanguard raised a hoof to interrupt.
As soon as you make it back home, go talk to all the friends you left behind when you got banished. Reunite with your family. Reconnect with your old life. Once you've done all of that, ask yourself if you still want Paravella's old job. If the answer's still yes, ask me again. I'll give it some serious thought then.
A smile crossed Twilight's face.
I'll do that then.
Have you made all the preparations?
The smile disappeared.
Let me check on that.
She ran off, leaving behind the still half-full mug of watered-down good stuff. Vanguard shook his head and turned his gaze skyward.
Even dead, you're causing me problems, Pyre, he whispered.
He walked off to finish his preparations too. Earlier he had received his latest orders from Commander Dreadstep. He and Scarlet Rabbit, as well as a few more special operations squads, had business in the Heartland. Okay, everypony, let me first say this. Yes, Paravella got executed. I knew that would happen. Still, emotions were high when I read that part. Because, well, I think, well, yeah, she deserved the hanging because, hey, there are hundreds, even thousands of ponies dead just because of her actions. But, yeah. Okay, but what I really liked about this, which some people may not catch on to, is, yeah, she was not hung, because a hanging is a traitor's death. Instead, she was allowed to take her own life. When I read that, I was kinda reminded of the Japanese samurai. When they failed or lost a battle, they committed suicide. Harakiri, I think it's called. And that was to keep their honor. And yeah, Paravella was allowed to do just that. She was allowed to die on her own terms. And then I have another question for you. First of all, what do you think about that? Second of all, what do you think about the conversation Twilight had with Paravella in the dungeons? I think it was a valuable lesson for Twilight to learn that she has to do her part in the Legion and has to set aside her personal goals when it comes to defending Equestria. That not every pony is her friend, and that she, other than Paravella, may not fail or betray Vanguard, because Paravella is leaving her something. That's kind of, I don't know how to express that. It's her legacy that she leaves Twilight, that Twilight can continue where Paravella left off. Okay, next question from me is, what do you think about Vanguard's conversation with Twilight in Stormbrew's bar? I mean, do you think he will take her into special operations or not? I mean, what would you do if you were a special operations captain and needed a unicorn mage? I mean, would you take Twilight? I certainly would. Okay, next thing about their conversation, what do you think about the part where he says that Paravella would have actually liked Twilight if they had met earlier? I certainly think no, they might not, because Pyrvella was always angry about the division and Twilight is still a Heartland pony. But what do you think would have happened if Twilight was a Barrierlands pony from the beginning? What do you think would have happened if Pyrvella and Twilight would have, met Zen? If they had actually had that rivalry that Vanguard is talking about in this chapter? Do you think that Twilight might even have gone along with Pyrvella during her rebellion against the Heartland? What do you think would have happened to the Legion if two unicorns that skilled would have turned against the Legion? Okay, sincerely yours, Visual Pony, and I'm looking forward to your answers.